0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we start the move from Scottish Cup reaction to Champions League build-up. The Rangers fallout does continue though, with Philippe Clement feeling the heat after defeat at Ibrox on Sunday. Celtic get Hibs at home in the next round, but it's all about Bayern Munich for now, and Daizen Maeda is free to play. Hearts were the final team through a dramatic penalty shootout win against St Mirren. They're at home to Dundee. Queen's Park's reward for beating Rangers is a trip to Pittodrie, and you're in the company tonight of Andy Halliday and Gordon DL. Yet another interesting week in Scottish football.
Yeah, interesting is not the word. It's been incredible. We were in the studio Saturday after the results come in. We were always talking about we want a Scottish Cup, upset. Where is it coming from? You look at the fixtures, Aberdeen at home, Rangers at home, St Mirren, Hearts could have went either way. But didn't see the Queen's Park shock. And I've got to say, I know everybody's talking about Rangers. I would like to congratulate Queen's Park. Absolutely brilliant. For the underdogs to go there, dig in deep, really, really fight hard, get their victory. They deserve every pat in the back in the world. For Rangers, it's an absolute disaster. Being associated with the club a long, long time ago, that was not acceptable, and it's not acceptable now. Let's not dress up any other way. And then tonight, well, yesterday or whatever it may be, great news for Celtic, because we were talking about the disappointment of not bringing in a striker because they were a bit light. All of a sudden, Maeda's in the squad tomorrow night, gives them great options. And that's a real confidence booster for me.
And Andy Halliday, great to see you on a Tuesday, just to dispel the myth that you phoned in sick last night, so you didn't need to talk about Queen's Park.
I know, I actually received some of a message for that, saying you bottled it for Super Scoreboard tonight. But as you know, it was pre-planned. And I'm here to face the music tonight, because we now know our 8 quarter-finalists in the Scottish Cup, and remarkably, Queen's Park are in it. Can't believe what I watched on Sunday. Truly can't. Again, we could sit for the full 2 hours and talk about that game in particular. But like Dazza said, full credit to Queen's Park. I thought they were heroic to a man in how they defended their box. And then, obviously, the small matter of Celtic being in the knockout stages tomorrow night against Bayern Munich.
You know the drill. 0141 951 1025. It should be a lively night, because there is absolutely no chance anyone is over events at Ibrox in just one night. For those of you who woke up yesterday, Rangers fans, hoping that Philippe Clement might pay the price, I think it now pretty clear that's not going to be the case. How do you look back on it all now? Are you a bit calmer, perhaps? Has the emotion dropped out of it, or does it actually ramp up as the week goes on? There's been so much said in the last 24 hours or so. So how are you feeling now, Rangers fans? It's the type of topic that probably would sustain us all week. However, we've got huge fish to fry as well. So Celtic fans, how good is the news that Daizen Maeda is free from suspension? He's won his appeal and he can play against Bayern Munich. Now, it's still Bayern Munich. I don't know how much of a better chance you think it gives you, but clearly you would rather have Daizen Maeda than not. And here is where you've got a tough decision to make. Who is your front three? Because Jota, Kun, Maeda, Ida, all fit, all available, all in form, which three start the match? What a question that is. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call. Lots happening. Any other thoughts from the Scottish Cup? You St Mirren fans, how tough was that to take last night? On the flip side, Hearts fans, it was a late night, but if there's one way to do it, going through in penalties is always fairly dramatic when you're on the right side of it. What did you make of the draw? Celtic getting a home tie against Hibs. Queen's Park going up there to Pittodrie. I don't know if it was the most exciting draw, but then we said that in the last round, didn't we? So you never know.
Yeah, obviously Queen's Park, after that brilliant result the weekend, they'd be sitting looking to think Livingston surely at home. But and Livingston would be the same, thinking get a good draw against Queen's Park. Yeah, it's not. You look at Celtic Hibs, you would fancy Celtic massively. I think the only game that you're looking at there is probably hard to call, but on form, Hearts v Dundee, that'll be difficult. Watched the game last night, obviously Andy was there working at it, went all the way.
How did you rate his performances?
I've got to say, I thought he was excellent. Looked good, looked smart, sharp, everything about him.
Do you think we've played a part in that sort of like grounding?
For the first time, I was thinking, he actually talks like he knows what he's talking about, which was baffling for me, but certainly a future going forward for him after he hangs up the boots.
Good. Well, that's the endorsement you were really looking for, isn't it? Yeah. The TV critic over there speaks. I'm amazed at that time of night you were still tuned into the football.
Yeah, I was
falling
asleep, honestly.
He's just trying to retire me.
How gutted were you that it was that late, cold?
I was absolutely devastated. I don't think I've ever been so cold in my life. But I've learned from a lack of experience, make sure they've got the thermals
it's
on.
It's a must. And that is one of the coldest stadiums out there, so you will learn. But
yeah,
credit to Hearts. Craig Gordon has to play until he's 42 to eventually save two penalties in a shootout. He revealed afterwards, it's just one of the. Is it the old lottery thing? Did either team do enough to win it? I guess not. Is that why we ended up where we did?
I thought there was only going to be one winner at half time. I thought St Mirren were by far and away the better side in the first half. I don't think it was a game that was littered with quality, but I did enjoy it. It ebbed and flowed. It was a proper cup tie. Again, in the second half, I thought, no, both teams sort of seize control at different parts of the game, but I never fancied Hearts to score at any point, to be honest with you. And Callum Neuenhoff's had a real tough time with injury for a long time now, so great to see him come on, score the goal. And then when it gets to the penalties, I think Craig Gordon has a chance to make amends for the goal, because I think he'd be disappointed with a man of his calibre in the St Mirren goal. And again, he comes up with two big saves. I say this all the time, I think it's very hard to criticise penalty takers, but I hate the stuttered run-ups. And Oisin Smith with a stuttered run up in the side foot, not enough power on it, because Zach Kemen actually gets his hand on three penalties. Because we're hit with pace and power, they end up snitting into the back of the net. I just think the stuttered run ups and the side footed ones. But again, must say, young Wilson, young Mooney, two best penalties.
I'm becoming a huge fan of James Wilson.
What a penalty that
is. I actually liked the way he ran and smashed the ball into the net to wind up the goalie, more than I liked his initial penalty.
Because there's almost zero margin error for that. There's very little margin error for that, I must say. If you're going to lace it, you know, opening your body up even for that top corner, you get that wrong, sliced by the post.
St Mirren fans, tough to take. Give us a call on any of your Scottish Cup thoughts. I'm looking forward to this, because we're looking back on the Cup with one of the biggest results in the competition's history, and Bayern Munich are in town. We're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers. Will we squeeze in Vincent Kompany before the end? I think it's about 7:30, the press conference, so that might be ambitious. But Celtic fans, pick your front three. You've now got four good options to choose from. Pick your front three. Let's kick off with Graham, who's a Rangers fan. Graham, day two, have you calmed down any? How are you feeling?
I have calmed down, mate. I was going to phone yesterday, but I've been swearing like a trooper, so I had to leave it.
I'm glad you did.
I'm old enough to remember Berwick, mate. Seen Jim Forrest, George McLean, Alec Wallaby never played again, and the manager lost his job. There's got to be consequences for certain people in that team, and that manager, for that performance on Sunday. See, after 35 minutes, my wee grandson said, "This is going to be a struggle." I said, "Don't be silly, son." And that's what happened. You could just see it was slow in possession. The two centre halves had more touches of the ball than anybody else in the team, and they let them get time, get set into their shape. And we just couldn't do nothing about it. And that's down to the manager, but the performances, 100% the players, mate. There's got to be consequences for somebody. I don't know if it's the manager or some of the players, but they should never play again.
How do you think that works? Because that's kind of the problem of management, isn't it, Graham? Traditionally, that's just what happens. The manager pays the price. So you're not convinced that is the case here? You don't think it's the manager?
I think the manager should stop doing press conferences, but surely the players have got to have a look at themselves. Jeff at the goal. What was he's going to Chelsea? Knowing this, my lifetime, mate. Knowing him, he's never gone anywhere near Chelsea. Unbelievable. And the young boy, Billy Rice, came on. It took him at half time, but he was never worse than any of the rest. They just left the boy on. And they're putting on fullbacks for wingers and taking the best centre half off and leaving the worst one on. I don't know what's going on there. They'll need to come out and tell us the truth. Are they going to sack him? If I'm not sacking him, and they don't want money to back him, just tell us. We'll still renew our tickets. We'll still go next year. But just tell us the truth. There is no coming out doing nothing. It's just no good enough.
I think Graham's opening point summed it up, where he couldn't phone last night because he would have sworn. But he's managed to
totally understand.
He's managed to hold it back.
Don't think he'd be alone in that camp, Gordon. It's unacceptable. I wanted to get it out road because I think that sometimes people dismiss Queen's Park and they shouldn't really because it's a brilliant result for them. But we're concentrating on Rangers. It's unacceptable at the club. As I say, a long time ago, I went into Rangers as a 14-year-old and I was very fortunate to be a part of the club and play in the first team and play in big games. That was not acceptable then and it's certainly not acceptable now. There's no doubt about it. I was saying here in the transfer window, there's no point getting rid of the manager. No point. May as well keep him, go at the end of the season, see what happens and then make decisions from there. But I did not see this result coming. For me, you cannot escape that. You really can't. And I don't buy into this nonsense that Rangers can't pay him off, right? They've not got the money to pay him off. They've got to find the money somewhere to change that because Rangers fans will not accept that. That is not acceptable in the football club. And the manager coming out, and I totally agree with Graham when he talks about it, his interviews after it are ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. He should hang his head in shame that he's walked out there and starts talking about, well, doesn't matter who the manager was in the dugout, shots and targets, stats. That is absolutely nonsense. And also, yes, I think a lot of the players have got to take a massive responsibility for that because that is an absolute disaster for Rangers.
How would you sum it up, Andy?
What part? Come on, Rangers, the game.
You take it away. What's the first thing that came to your mind?
Well, start with the game
Sunday
because that's obviously what we'll watch at the weekend. I thought it was a team, to me, that I was watching, which I felt for a long time, has zero plan going into a game. Zero style, zero plan on how to break teams down. In Queen's Park, regardless of saying that Rangers had 30 shots and Queen's Park had one, Queen's Park were so comfortable in how they defended the game. And Rangers, as a team, showed zero urgency to win the game until they were 1-0 down and the game was getting away from them the last 15 minutes. So the 30 shots you talked about, there was 25 from outside the box for 35 yards that were getting blazed over the bar. Any meaningful chances Rangers created came in the last 10, 15 minutes when they were 1-0 down. And again, for me, that just comes down to... we've said it for so long, Rangers have good players, but they're a moments team. They've not once been a team, other than probably the Celtic game where they've put in a 90-minute performance. They've always been a team that are flashy in moments, but really poor for a half and drop points. And again, I just think that's down to individual quality in the team. I've watched Rangers every week for so long, and I couldn't tell you what they do in the build-up. I couldn't tell you what they do in midfield, and I couldn't tell you how they break down a block. I could talk you through everything Celtic will try and do in the areas, because it's so apparent. They do it every week. It's so clear to watch. When I see Rangers, I just think they're so off the cuff. And that's when it comes down to, no, struggling against Queen's Park to beat down a block. You're watching the game and Queen's Park have got 11 men behind the ball and Yanis Hadji's dropping into midfield because he can't get in the ball. Yeah, Vaclav Cherny's coming inside to get the ball. Egerman's playing centre mid because he can't get the ball. Whereas, you know, you look at proper teams with proper structures and a style, they know they can get their good players in certain areas of the pitch, so they'll stay there and they'll trust that good players can find them. I just don't think Rangers have that. And I must agree with Graham in terms of Philippe Clement's press conferences. I think he comes away looking worse after every interview because he comes up with the same excuses all the time. I mean, referring to shots on goal, you've just lost 1-0 at home to Queen's Park. I don't understand how you can talk about that. He also mentioned saying, you know, before this game, everybody was talking about the progress we've made in the last couple of months. Rangers drew one each with Dundee on the 9th of January. That was a month ago. They won one game in the previous five before that. So where's this progression the last 2 months he's talking about?
Well, let's not take him away from press conferences entirely. Some of us have got bills to pay. But Graham, you said you remember Berrick. I thought you said Derek, and I'm thinking, who's this Derek?
Yeah, Berrick.
And then it dawned on me. You remember Berrick.
I thought it said Derek. Well,
how does this sort of compare or rank? I mean, does this feel like one of the worst moments you've had as a Rangers fan, or is that too over the top?
This is the worst, mate. Team Berwick, we were away. It was a late January, freezing cold. That year they got to the final of the Cup Winners' Cup. This year, nothing, mate. That's it. Season's done. This is worse. This is the worst result. We got beat at Ibrox against Hamilton, but they're in the same division as us. This is disastrous for us. This is just not acceptable at all. See, your two centre halves have got more touches than anybody else in the park. There's a problem there, mate. Everything's too slow. pass it back, pass. Then he runs 10 yards and stops and passes it sideways. Back to his centre. Horrible to watch.
I agree with Graham in the fact that I think that everyone in the past would talk about Berwick, right? Worst result in the history of Rangers Football Club. And you look back at that time. But I think this now takes over.
Seriously?
From, yeah. Yeah,
even though they're only one division below.
Not even that. Ibrox, the finances, everything that you put into it, the international players, every single thing. Queen's Park were amateurs not that long ago. Come on, this is the worst.
Thank you, Graham. Craig is on the other line. Craig, how would you sum up your sort of take on things now, another day on?
How would I sum it up? I don't know as the answer, because I was saying to the producer there, what I really want to do is not go, but you can't starve the club of money, especially at this time. But I don't know. I think the game a week on Sunday, a week on Saturday, whenever it is, against St Mirren's, going to be really, really, really interesting, because I think you get the kind of like the away fan base that are always the way they are. So Tynecastle, for me, you won't really see a massive impact, you know, in terms of like sort of the way the fans are feeling, if that makes sense. I might be wrong, but I wanted to make a couple of points as well. I think the previous caller, Graham, there put a point that I was trying to get across to the producer. He's made a really good point that the Rangers board take for granted. We will still buy our tickets. That's what he said. He said, if they come out and say they're not going to be sacked, the guy, we'll still buy our tickets. And I think that's the problem. And like I say, in a normal kind of universe, you know, if you go back 25, 30 years, you could say, right, we'll just not bother renewing and the club will be fine, but can I do that anymore? There'll always be people that can come along and take my season ticket, but I think the board treat the fans as customers and not fans, and that's a massive problem. And we thought it was going to change with this guy Stewart coming in. But again, going back to what I've been saying since Sunday and on my kind of like group chats and stuff like that, is where is Patrick Stewart? It's like he's hiding under a desk. And it's what one of my mates said to me, it's like, what is the tipping point? You know, because we're not going to get hammered in Europa League, probably. We might lose by a goal or two in aggregate. Obviously, the games against Celtic have been really close, so Celtic aren't going to go and beat us, you know, 5-0 like they've done, you know, 5-6 years ago. Well, sorry, pre-Gerrard. So what's the tipping point? What is the tipping point for this guy to get sacked? Because we've went through so many landmarks that we've seen previous Rangers managers gone. You know, had they been done the next... If that had been a normal kind of situation, that guy would have been gone yesterday, and there'd have been a press conference, you know, yesterday morning. But it's that way. You don't know what you're supposed to do. And it's like, I think this... I've heard apathy quite a lot. You know, it's like, I was at the game on Sunday and I was like, I turned to my mate, I was like, they're going to score here. They're going to... And it was like the lower leagues with McCoist. It was like the... No disrespect, but the wee teams went up the park and scored for their only chance of the game. And you could see it coming, even though Queen's Park only had one shot and goal. I said to him, they're going to go up the park and score here.
What is the tipping point for you? I think, you know, Craig, that asks a good question, because I said this last night, I've got to try not repeat it over and over, but this notion that can't afford to sack, clearly that doesn't last forever. How could it possibly?
Because you lose every game.
Exactly. You know, you would. So what would it take, or do Rangers fans have to accept this manager is staying in place until the summer? Craig asks, what's the tipping point?
The tipping point would have been simple for me, right? I'm not here to, you know, encourage people to lose their job and whatever. I've been in management and I know how difficult it is. I would have sacked them after the final whistle. That's not acceptable, Gordon. I don't care what anybody argues about. That is not acceptable to Rangers Football Club, especially when they're going through the season they're going through. So if Rangers had any ambition of getting rid of the manager, it should have been done right after the final whistle. It should have been taken up the stair and that's it. Done. Done, over with. But they've not come out with anything. So it looks to me, and I think it's because of the European campaign, which, let's give them credit for that, because it's all negative for now, but let's give them credit for that. The League Cup's gone. The League's gone. The Scottish Cup's gone. We're still in February. We're not even Valentine's Day yet. So, at the end of the day, for me, that is not acceptable for Rangers, right? So, if they lose to Queen's Park in the Cup at home, I'm sorry, any other Rangers manager, days gone by, would have lost their job.
Yeah, well, Craig asked, where's Patrick Stewart? Patrick Stewart released a statement last month. It's the first time he addressed Rangers fans, and he says that he can offer no cast iron guarantees to Philippe Clement regarding results. Now, we just watched him get beat off at Queen's Park. Dazza described it as potentially the worst result they've ever had in Scottish Cup history. I think it's very difficult for a manager to survive that, even if he has a little bit of credit in the bank. I don't know if Philippe Clement had credit in the bank going into the game. If he did, he certainly doesn't have now. And I take the point, he has done extremely well in Europe, but Rangers have been good in Europe for a long time. It's not as if he's, you know, Philippe Clement has came in and they've been really poor in Europe, and now they've started absolutely flying. I think the reason that they've changed managers so often recently is because domestic form's not been good enough. They're not winning enough trophies domestically.
They were all good in Europe in a way.
They've always been good in Europe, so he's obviously not improved that aspect. But, I mean, you mentioned something there which was so interesting to me, because that's always been my standpoint. I've always felt that Rangers are going to keep Clement in the summer, and then I think everyone feels as if in that point in time he's going to be moved on. He just hired a new assistant manager 2 months ago. So if your plan is to keep the guy at the summer, why would you let him bring in more staff?
Yeah, it's a good point you make, Craig, a good point, but we'll have to move on if you don't mind. Very late for this break, plenty more time to call. And Celtic fans, what's your front three? How good is it to have Maeda available? We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL is here, Andy Halliday is alongside him, and there is plenty of time still for you to get in touch. We're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers very soon, so my challenge to you Celtic fans, because I don't envy the manager, who's your front three tomorrow now that Dyson Maeda is available? Justin is a Rangers fan who's been hanging on though. Justin, how's it going?
Been better. Just you could say that. Good evening, guys. I hope you're well. Not been on for a wee while, but I'm at my wit's end with us now, because like many other Rangers fans, for the last pretty much the start of the season, all we keep hearing is getting better and better, and months and months, and on to the next game, and then getting a lift between European games and the Old Firm game, and then going 3 steps back the way 2 games later. As I said, it's not good enough. It's not acceptable. But the more frustrating thing for me is looking at the number of games we've played and the time we've played. It's the same story that keeps coming out. Rangers, Andy was very right in what he said. We've been good in Europe since Gerrard. You know, what Gerrard instilled while he was there was a kind of team spirit, a belief in fighting for one another. Andy was part of that as well, and he would have known. I don't believe, as a Rangers fan, that we've had a solid togetherness since Gerrard left. Now, you can put things down to, you know, Gerrard as a manager, but this is verging now on Kishinya and Beale levels of why is it acceptable for Clement? And I hear the money situation. I hear we can't afford to get rid of him. But Rangers, right at the moment, need something drastic to change, like a Gerrard coming in again or something along those lines, because they now have got nothing to play for this season other than Europe. And some dignity. And the European thing, depending on who we score, we've done well in Europe this season. If we don't get by the next round, we've still done well. But the likelihood of winning the Europa League with the consistency we've got is pretty much non-existent. So our season domestically is done. If we're not going to get rid of them at that point, where, it's not even a case of where's the line. It's just a case that makes us look ridiculous and a mockery of what we're doing. I was just to see what Daz and Andy thought.
So just on that though, Justin, sorry. So you don't think there's any way that he could be the man going forward, given time? You think there's just no signs of that?
There's some of the players he's brought in, you know, in Seattle and stuff like that, yeah, they look good and they look great, and they're young players. I get about cutting the wage bill, I get all of that sort of stuff. But the team on the park, the performances and the domestic engagement, there's been too many times where it's been a false dawn. There's been too many times where the wheels have come off the bus. And I get it's down to players, but he's the manager. He's the one that's putting the players out there. An honest answer is no. There's been too many now. Too many times that the wheels have come off the bus for it to be acceptable. Rangers now need something like the thing that when Gerrard walked through the door, the lift, the difference that could have made. Rangers need something like that now to completely, you know, revitalise the club, because it's a mess now.
How damaging is it, do you think, Andy, that this was a different type of disappointment, in the sense that Rangers have been, for the most part, poor away from home in the league, but at least that was like in a compartment. Do you know what I mean? Like, everything else was fine. The home form was very good, actually. The European form was good, and it was still a big deal, because it led to being 13 points behind. But there was still this notion, well, if you can just fix the away form in the league. But then now we've added into the mix a kind of, we're talking one of the all time cup shocks.
Yeah.
Does that change things? Do you know what I mean? Is this worse than just another, presumably worse than just another failure to win away from home in the league?
Yeah, I think of course it's worse, because Rangers have got a long history and they've never lost a low league opposition at home. So I think of course it's worse in that respect. But again, Gordon, sometimes I do think you have to look at the bigger picture. Yes, results are better, but I always look at the performances, and is there something there that you can grasp on? Can you see, you know, can you see that improvement? Can you see that plan? And again, I just don't think that's came. I really don't. And you know, Fleet Clement, Justin just mentioned a couple of things that he's had to deal with. Yep, slashing the wage bill, 100%. I get that, but that argument doesn't wash when you've dropped points to Dundee and Motherwell and St Mirren and now Queen's Park. Slashing the wage bill has no barometer on games like that. So again, I take your point as well in terms of, you know, financially, do they have the money to sack him just now? Potentially not. But again, what does that mean, that he's going to see out his contract? What I will say is the decision made by the board to offer him a new contract at the start of the season, it just looks like a poor decision where we sit here in February.
I can't disagree with what Andy says. It's right now, he's just not the match that Rangers need, right? It's not a case of if they get rid of him, it's when they're going to get rid of him. It's as simple as that. Straightforward. I don't see him going, into next season as the Rangers manager. The fans have totally turned against him. Some of his decisions, for me, are baffling. I think everybody sits and looks at his press interviews after the games and some of the stuff he comes out with.
That stuff would be small time if you were winning, wouldn't it? And he's a guy in his second language.
But when you
get away with being a bit,
I know that. But when you lose to Queen's Park, Gordon,
that's what I mean. Yeah,
you can't come out with the nonsense you come out with, right? And I know what you're saying about his second language, and I totally take that on board. But Rangers fans just don't want to hear that. I agree. You look at some of the decisions he even makes on the pitch, like say at the weekend there. Everybody will tell you. He takes Hadji off and brings Yilmaz on. You know,
I can't understand for the life of me that decision.
Well, only he can explain that to you. He then, okay, he takes a young boy off at half time. Bailey Rice, probably he wasn't any worse than anybody else. Doesn't matter who was on that park. You should be able to beat Queen's Park. It's not acceptable. You can't be the Rangers manager and basically just shrug that off like, okay, we'll look forward to the game against Hearts at Tynecastle. It's not as simple as that.
Thank you very much to Justin. Plenty of time between now and 8 o'clock for more thoughts on Rangers, and I'm sure we will, but there's a lot of big stories doing the rounds today. So let's kick off our European coverage, hearing from Brendan Rodgers.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard coverage of the European knockout rounds with the Clubhouse Princes Square, taproom and home of live sport in Glasgow.
Let's hear from the Celtic manager. He says Daizen Maeda's availability against Bayern Munich is a surprise, especially after he ran the legs off the forward for the past week.
It's such a great bit of news that we got, obviously. No, he's an extraordinary player. I think how he's been this year for us, in not just in goals, but what his value gives to the team in terms of his pressing and his honesty to the game. So to have that mentality and that ability available was a big surprise for us, but a nice surprise. Obviously, the club put in the appeal, which, with the greatest respect, UEFA, we were thinking that this probably wouldn't bear fruit. And then when I got the call to say he was able to play, I thought, goodness me, he's played the 3 full games. He couldn't have run any more as a striker, as a winger. Played him everywhere, but thankfully he has. He's just a bundle of energy, so he'll be okay.
It's a nice problem to have, Anthony, in Coatbridge on the line. But who plays now? What's the front three looking like?
Doing, guys, first time caller.
Good to have you.
I think it's a no-brainer. I think Dyson Maeda and Nicholas Kuhn will probably start. I think Andy will probably be able to explain this better, but with Jota coming in and only playing 26 games over 2 years, I think his fitness levels are probably going to be there. Fabulous player, but when you're playing against Bayern Munich, you're probably wanting people that have been on it all season. I still think he'll feature in the latter stages of the game. I don't think you can drop Kuhn for his performances. I don't think you can drop Dyson Maeda. Probably think he's been the most important player for Celtic this season.
And you wouldn't drop Ida and play Maeda through the middle?
No, because I still think Ida's going to be the target man. I think there's going to be times in the game against Munich where we might need to go long. And if he can hold the ball up, left or right, to Dyson or Kuhn, it's maybe then the option of getting in behind. Because they do often play a high line. Obviously, getting in behind the wing-backs might be the way forward for Celtic tomorrow night.
What did you to make of it? Was it unexpected, Dyson Maeda's sudden availability?
I couldn't believe it. Again, the fact that Celtic appealed the decision's been an element of surprise. It's not been reported anywhere. But listen, a huge bonus for them that they've managed to win it and he's available tomorrow night, because Andy quite rightly points out, you do feel as if going into the game tomorrow, a big part of Celtic's chances will be the counter-attacks, the transitions, and I don't think there's anybody better on Celtic's team than Dyson Maeda if he's got space to run into. So I must agree in terms of his front three as well. I do think that Jota's lack of game time, I think, will play a part in the decision-making tomorrow night.
It's a great point. It's a great debate. I've got to say, I don't care if Maeda had played in the St Mirren Hearts game, he'd still be okay for tomorrow night. That's the fitness he's got.
He could have played last night, he'd be alright, wouldn't he?
He's okay. It's a great debate, because I was thinking, I think a lot of people would look at Jota, obviously, mm-hmm. with the ability, Maeda, certainty through the middle, and Kuhn. I take on board about Jota's game time over the last, well, whatever it is, but I just think it's too big a game at home, and I think he'll go with Jota at the beginning, and I think Ida could come off the bench.
Wow.
I do. I think Jota's too good a player, Gordon. Too important to them. The first leg is the biggest thing,
yeah,
because they've got to keep themselves in the tie to go to Germany, and you're looking, the Germans are that good, the game could be away from you by the time you say to Jota, get warmed up, you're coming on here, right? I think you've got to just have that burst of energy, that lift, everything. That front three, I think, is as good as you get.
And listen, I take Anthony's point, because we're now in the case with Celtic where they'll feel that they're in an ideal world, they've got the choice. But until yesterday, Jota was going to have to be deemed fit enough to play, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So, like, I wonder how. What do you think, Anthony? Can you see any sense in Gordon's point? I know it's easy to not find sense in what he says sometimes, but I didn't think that was too bad.
No, I see what he's saying, and I think obviously it was made clear, even the fact Celtic fans and Brendan Rodgers all kind of knew that Yang hadn't really been cutting it. I know he had a good game the other day, but against lesser opposition, but Yang's not really been doing it. And I think the risk was always going to be, let's play Jota from the start if Maeda's missing, and then obviously Yang would probably have to come on, because you're not going to get 90 minutes out of Jota. So I still see it as probably Jota now just steps aside, and if one of the
Dyson Maeda or Kuhn is looking a bit leggy, then he gets introduced to the game and then he's a fresh set of legs. And at that point, maybe the Bayern players are a bit more tired, and then that opens the pitch up for Jota, who is, again, not quite match up.
You sealed the deal for me, Gordon, when you said, and this is what I'm saying to Anthony, and he's saying the same. If that decision had went against Maeda, Jota is a certain starter tomorrow.
But you now have the choice.
Right, yeah. But he's a certain starter. So that tells me that
he's not that far off.
Brendan Rodgers ain't going to risk him no matter what game it was, right? Brendan Rodgers is a very shrewd manager and operator. So for me, I would probably go with my strongest front three, Jota, Maeda, and Kuhn.
Do we even know that is the strongest though just now?
Well,
you already sold on
right,
the Jota return.
Yeah, because I think, right, and people will argue, Maeda's been really good in the wing, right? Done a lot of good things. I think Maeda comes alive through the middle for me. I think he's playing with such confidence. He's scoring goals. He's a threat in centre-halves with Tate, because they'll sit deep, because they ain't going to leave that room in behind, because Maeda will absolutely skin them. So for me right now, that is the best front three. Andy might say Ida, but I would certainly, my last game would be Maeda.
I'm convinced Maeda goes to the APT sessions with you. I don't know how he's that fit, honestly.
The two fittest men in Scotland. Yeah. Gordon
Gale and Dyson. Dad and son.
You know, Dazzler and Dyson on the hit sessions.
The wheelbarrow. Well, we've heard what Anthony and Coatbridge thought, and thank you very much to Anthony. A good call. We've heard what Gordon and Andy think. What about you, though? What would your solution to that be, Celtic fans? Let us know whilst I run this past you.
Oh, my God. Win £350,000.
Brilliant stuff, man.
Not a chance in this life or the next. I'm going to ask Gordon DL what he's got planned for Valentine's Day, but your bank account could be struck by Cupid's cash arrow. £350,000 must be won, every penny tax-free. What an opportunity it is. So text YES to 61025. If you do that, you get 2-for-1 on your first text entry. The texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for 250 as well, or you can call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. All the rules for this Rayo Network competition are online, and the lines close at 5 p.m. on Friday. So text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Big night for Celtic in the Champions League tomorrow. We heard from Brendan Rodgers there. We've had a few theories. Gordon DL is starting Jota and Maeda and Kuhn tomorrow, and no Adam Ida. What is your take on it, though? Andy Halliday's here as well. We've had Anthony and Coatbridge giving us his thoughts on where Celtic should go. Get the calls in, I'm absolutely certain. We're going to get back to the Rangers post-mortem in the next part of the show, so keep them coming as well. St Mirren fans, how tough was last night to take? What else jumps out at you from the cup draw? And anything else that's out there, you know where we are. This is what Brendan Rodgers had to say about the prospect of facing what he calls one of Europe's top teams.
Yeah, but well, Bayern Munich are one of the giants of the European game. You know, they really are football royalty in terms of what they've achieved over many, many years. So for us to be in a position where we can challenge them is... it's a great marker for us, but I know with our game, all our running power and physicality, which is something that we've really improved on at this level, I think that's been, when I look back to 23, 24, that's been a big part of our learning, bringing the physicality to the game and improving in that aspect of it. And I think if we can do that, and with the energy and the support behind us, then anything is possible in the game. So I think what is important for us, that we're very much alive in the tie going over to Germany. I think that would be the key message for us. But we want to go and perform. You know, and we're not frightened to lose. That's not what this is about. This is about, you know, going and performing. And if we can perform well, like we've shown in this competition, especially at home, hopefully we can get what we deserve.
Davey is on the line. What are you thinking ahead of this one tomorrow, Davey?
Hello there.
Hello.
Hi. Well, I'm thinking... We could take nothing each, it'll be good. As Brendan said, keeping the game alive, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Giving yourself a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what the dynamic of being at home first, you'd obviously rather probably come home second and all that sort of stuff. But Celtic probably won't try and hang on for a 0-0, though, will they?
I don't think it'll be 0-0.
Then you need to go over and.
I don't think it'll be 0-0. I'd be very surprised if that game finished. Celtic would certainly take that, but I would be very surprised with the sort of a front three of Celtic. Obviously, the ability that they've got, the Hurricanes of this world. Absolutely not a chance that will finish 0-0.
Do you think with this being a knockout, because obviously Celtic haven't got to this stage a lot recently, Andy, and let's say this was the old format and it was the group and you're playing Bayern Munich, you don't know, you can't guarantee that you're going to pick up the points in the other game, so there's that sort of nervousness about, you know, you kind of losing the game and it might see you go out. Is there a bit more of a, it's never, how could it be a free hit in the Champions League? Mm-hmm. But you know what I mean, where you're at home first time, just take the game to them and see where it leaves you, because ultimately, is Brendan Rodgers says, they're not going to be scared to lose. They're going to know that they're major underdogs.
Well, it says stay alive in the tie. I think they have to win. I honestly think for them to have any chance within this knockout, I think they need to have some form of margin of victory going over to Germany a couple of weeks' time. I just think a defeat of any kind, I think the tie's almost over. I think you look at the amount of goals this Bayern Munich team score, whether it be European level or domestically, and I don't suspect that Celtic are going to go and produce an Atalanta-type performance away at home. I just don't think they've ever been that type of team, whether it's been previous managers or Brendan Rodgers. You remember when Leipzig came, an our Bundesliga type, not quite the giants of Bayern Munich, but Celtic took the game to them. They were absolutely superb on the night. I think they've done that in the majority of their home ties, and I think it's going to be no different tomorrow night, although it is a major, major, major ask.
What does your front three look like, Davey?
For me, it's going to be Kuhn, Eder and Maeda. Eder's calling as much as Sky Eye after the West Ham game. But there's a point I want to ask Andy, if it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Andy, your team goal of the year so far, have you got Maeda set and go against Indy up there?
Well, you do love a team goal. Davey's been listening, he knows you love a team goal. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, where does Maeda's against Dundee rank?
Very, very good. To be honest, I thought all three of the goals were good. Again, that third hat-trick one.
The Dundee one, he's talking, I think, is that the chip?
The chip,
is that right,
yeah.
Davey? That's one you're talking about?
It's not
about.
The back post head. Oh, yeah. Must be a chip.
Do you know what I'm taking style points off for that, Davey? I never noticed that Arne Engels pass to a slight deflection.
Does that ruin it for you?
It does a wee bit. Listen, it's still a brilliant pass, and I still think it's going to get to his intended target, but just that wee slight deflection. I'm still giving it the one in St Johnson. Yeah, Adam, he does go.
Aye, okay, that's fair play.
They've had a few.
No, that was this year, Davey. Come on now.
All right. What do you think, Davey? You've said, you know, you'd take a 0-0.
I would take a 0-0, but I'm being optimistic. I do think we'll score. I must be really honest. I think we'll score. I think Eder's confidence is so high, I think we'll score. And Jota, if things go into plan and Eder puts in a really heavy, heavy first hour, he'll move Maeda out in the middle and bring Jota on.
Gordon, I know you've said you think Jota is... you'd actually start him. You'd leave Eder out. Is there a case to say that stylistically Jota is more of a kind of impact player, if you like, you know, you the type that you can bring on, that kind of maverick type?
Look, whether you start Jota or bring him on, he's still a very talented player. You wouldn't just describe him as an impact player. I think Eder can come on and be a very good impact player. I just think that Jota's been brought back. I know the big question mark about his fitness and everything. He's played a couple of games. He's not looked like he really needs a lot of game time. He's sharp. He's got ability. He can make something out of nothing. And I think you're going to need that tomorrow night. And I just think that if he'd planned the fact that Maeda was not available for the last few days, then Jota was certainly starting the game. So it wasn't a case of thinking, oh my goodness, Jota won't start. He'll probably have to come on. They'll have to play someone else in the right-hand position. Jota was always starting the game. I think he'll start with Jota. Look, there's a great argument there. Eder has been in good form, starting to get goals, confidence. But Maeda through the middle is dynamite for me. I just think Jota's too big a player to start on the bench.
Thank you very much to Davey and Darnley. It's time for us to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Oh, you should have heard these two wee sweetie wives. They were comparing stats from Beat the Pundit performances in the office earlier on, saying who's played more, who's got the best percentage. We can see how it goes tonight. 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
An interesting dynamic in here. We've got the champion in waiting, potentially, of Beat the Pundit this season in Andy Halliday, and the champion Beat the Pundit Moaner in Gordon DL. So an interesting pairing, and plenty for you to get involved in between now and 8 o'clock on the phones anyway, because Queen's Park Rangers, the fallout, absolutely no chance that was going to be done in one night. We've had loads more of it today. How do you feel, Rangers fans, now? Keep the calls coming. Celtic fans, how pleasing is it to have Daizé and Maeda available? What would your front three look like tomorrow? General thoughts around the game. Still keen to reflect on the cup draw and last night's match if you're interested. So give us a shout and we will play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. I mean, you never know, between now and 8 o'clock, Andy Halliday might have a new manager. I don't know, it's been very quiet on that front. You heard anything? Anything you can tell us?
I haven't.
Are you just saying that?
Dazzle's fifth favourite.
Fifth? I think he might be at this stage.
But embarrassed with that. Seriously? I thought I'd be right in the top three.
At this stage, I think he might be. Anyway, let's...
No expenses.
Keep the, exactly. You would be cheap, wouldn't you?
Yeah, very cheap. I always am cheap.
You wouldn't walk though, would you?
No, I drive. On you. No, I drive.
I mean, by the time you get down into the car, you would be quicker walking, but there's no
way. I would be,
but
I would drive.
Okay. Wayne is on tonight. How's it going, Wayne?
Hi, not bad, guys. Not bad. How are you guys?
Wayne's just representing all things Andy Halliday here, because he's from Motherwell, but he's a Hearts fan.
Oh, Wayne. Just,
how pleasing was last night, Wayne? Put through the ringer a bit.
Oh yeah, 100%. All we've played so many recently in the last few seasons has been one goal here, one goal there. So it's been quite tight. So I was happy to get the result in the next round. That's what it's all about.
Are you pleased with what you saw? I take it during the penalties, only a couple of things you need. You need your goalie to step up at some point. He saved two, and then of course there was some pressure penalties well stuck away.
Yeah, 100%. I was looking at some of the boys last night, and I think B. Penrice is looking really good. Kabenga, obviously, having the bit of the chance at the end of extra time. But again, he'll come on. I think it's suiting Shankland really well. It's like, hopefully, we'll have that reaching early. Shankland kind of pair him again, because he needs somebody to kind of run off him a wee bit.
I like it when there's a bit of needle between keeper and taker. And you saw it. You saw it with Penrice at the end as well, didn't
you? What about Marcus Fraser?
I know. What was that all about? Because the camera kind of went off it. You would have seen it been.
He somehow on the way back managed to get cramped right on the penalty spot and sat there for a good 15 seconds.
I thought it was that. Because did he go to tie his lace or something?
He went to tie his lace and then
slow
cramped.
It all down.
Yeah.
I like it when there's a wee bit of needle in it.
That's nothing worse.
Because if you dish out, then you need to accept that when they score, they're gonna. You know what, as the universal gesture would go. Right, anyway, let's play Beat the Pundit. We'll maybe talk more about that in a second. Heads, it will be Andy Halliday. And tails, it is Gordon DL. Oh, drop the coin. We'll do that again, just for accuracy.
Where is it?
It's you, tails.
Okay, all the best, man. Wayne, if you win, I'll deliver the ball myself. There
you've not won for a while, by the way.
I won Thursday, mate. Catch yourself.
That's what that says. They keep putting your percentage down. I know they do.
The listeners.
The listeners
won 3-2 last week.
Yeah, but I won my game. I'm not interested in anything.
You don't play twice? You played Tuesday and lost.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
It's all about your last one, Andy, isn't it?
No, wait, no, I never.
You did.
No, I didn't.
You lost last Tuesday.
How come you never
was
talk about
last Tuesday?
Exactly. You played.
And what?
Were you with him?
Aye.
There you go.
The listeners won 3-2. That's all I remember. And I assume if there's
See, be fair.
You're right, it was a week before I was with him.
Thank
Tuesday,
you.
Lost.
That was Big Marv.
Exactly. It was Marv.
That was Big Marv.
Right, anyway, let's give Gordon DL something else to listen to. Nice and loud, please. Wayne, you have 30 seconds. You answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
No problem.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who did Livy draw in the quarterfinals of the Scottish Cup?
It was St Johnstone.
Boro Briggs is home to which SPFL team?
Pass.
Who scored Hart's first penalty last night?
Wilson.
Who was the last Scotsman to play for Bayern Munich's first team?
Pass.
Which Scottish Premiership manager shares his name with a famous singer?
Oh, pass.
Oh, you'll be kicking yourself, Wayne. Let's bring him back. You ready? No. Don't say anything. Don't give it away. You back? Still not. Still music. Okay.
Aye, I'm back now. Good. Andy,
he gives the listeners a minute.
100%.
Did he?
100%. He's all against us.
He knows you're daft enough to jump on that.
Oh no. So I totally agree with him.
30 seconds right on the clock. Your time starts now. Who did Livy draw in the quarterfinals of the Scottish Cup?
St George.
Boro Briggs is home to which SPFL team?
Boro Briggs. Pass.
Who scored Hart's first penalty in last night's shootout against St Mirren?
Wilson. Don't know.
Who was the last Scotsman to play for Bayern Munich's first team?
McAnally.
Which Scottish Premiership manager shares his name with a famous singer?
Pat.
Who is the current intern boss of Scotland women's national team?
I don't know. No idea. Pat.
Okay.
Singer. Okay. Hold on. Okay. Singer. Don't tell us. Shut up. Don't tell me then.
Well, hurry up.
Robinson. B.A. Robinson.
I'm just taking this. Kenny Rogers. Brendan Rogers.
What? In what way does that share singer a name? Share a name, as in it's the same name.
A full
name.
Oh,
right. Shiva, I get beat with that question.
What do you mean?
I thought it was just the surname.
It would be easier. They share both names. David Gray. Babylon. See where we're going with this?
I would never have got that.
Is that even Babylon?
Did we Wayne get that?
You'll need to find out.
I was poor there.
To be fair, I thought
I can't believe that I haven't all that time. You thought Robinson, you thought Brendan Rodgers.
I just thought Kenny Rogers. I thought they were tough,
he never reads them out right to us.
Davy Clement, some singer as well. Honestly, you want to hear his tunes anyway. Livy, Drew, St Johnston, you both got it.
That's about all I've got, I think.
The Boro Briggs is home too. You're rubbish at stadiums as well, Andy.
Aye, Bonnyrigg. I just took a guess for the Briggs.
Elgin.
Wayne got that.
I thought they were tough tonight.
Did not. One each. James Wilson got the first penalty, but Wayne's a jambo. He was going to get that as well, wasn't he?
I was just a lucky one for me.
So we are level. The last Scotsman to play for Bayern Munich's first team is Alan McAnally.
Wayne, I hope you got the singer.
Which Scottish Premiership manager shares his name with a singer? It was not Brendan Rodgers or Stephen Robinson. Would you believe it was David Gray, as we've already spoiled? Wayne didn't get it.
Wayne, thought you were shouting down the mic. I got that.
There was one more question though.
What was it?
Who's the interim manager of Scotland Women's National
Team? If Wayne gets that, I'll take the ball myself. Where do you live, Wayne?
He's been in the press. He's been in the press a lot. Doesn't matter.
Where does Wayne live? He doesn't read the press. Where do you live? In Motherwell. What part?
North Motherwell.
Where?
North Motherwell. Your family. You've got
North
family.
I'll nip down. If you get this question right and you win, I'll nip down tomorrow.
It's Michael McArdle. Wayne didn't get that.
Dazzler again. Get the percentage up.
Well, it will go up. That's how it works.
Mate, they were hard. I thought you were outstanding. I did dig in, didn't I?
How can you be outstanding and not get David Gray?
That was a good 3 points. But listen, but you're not playing well.
The best beat the pundit guy sitting next to me went with Kenny Rogers.
I know, but here's the thing as well.
Stupid question.
As good as he is. It's well known that he's terrible at stadiums. I would still expect most. I think you've got in all the stadiums.
I would have been the same score with you.
Oh, that's where Wilson gets sacked. I should have known that. I stuck my mind.
They battered Breakin. Wilson.
See, if you'd have said, where did Wilson get sacked with Breakin?
We'd have been a tiebreaker 3-3. I thought you got the ones that were. Yeah, well, the other ones tough.
Wayne.
Anyway, Wayne, the...
I'll just peep the horn. That's as much as you're going to get.
Are the Jambos looking up? Wayne, are you feeling quite excited now, maybe, compared to a couple of months ago?
I think there's a wee bit of consistency there now. I think we'll now hopefully plod on in the in the table and hopefully push on, consolidate into top six. I don't want to go too far and say maybe catching the likes of Aberdeen, Dundee United. I don't know, they can maybe kick on as well. But why not? Like, we're obviously out of Europe now, so we can concentrate on our Saturday fixtures as they come with the league. So I think we should finish, and hopefully I'm top six anyway, but I'd look for a top four if I'm being honest.
I don't know if last night was the best proof of it. It was just more about getting through on a difficult night and a difficult pitch against a difficult opponent. But generally speaking, your former team, can you see them? I mean, Wayne won't say it because he doesn't want to get carried away and understand it, but it still feels like the race for the top four and maybe even third is still there because of the points gap for everyone.
Well, plus they're eight unbeaten. And like you said, it's so bunched up, and since Neil Critchley came in the door, they're third in the form table, and I think they've got a lot of momentum going for them. They've obviously recruited with some new signings in January. Some of them have fitted in extremely well. The likes of Elton Cabango now, five in the last five since he's came in. So a lot going for them. But I must say as well, when you see the result of Rangers and Queen's Park on Sunday, you then look at the likes of Hearts, and it gives them a real possibility of winning the Scottish Cup for the first time since 2012. Of course, Celtic are the favourites, but no, for the likes of Hearts, it must have given them a lift when Rangers get knocked out.
Thank you very much to Wayne. Not to be on Beat the Pundit, your win percentage has gone up, obviously.
Massively. 75%.
67% now.
Mate, I'm not 21 games, right?
You were 70% last week and you won.
I know. Listen.
It's just one again.
He's just winding you up. Do you not realise this?
I know. I'm not. I've had enough.
Do you know what's the most impressive of that as well? The caller got a minute. You got 30 seconds and still
correct.
Won.
Correct. And have you ever watched when he's playing right?
How quickly he reads your questions for the caller.
I've noticed that. You're right. You should say go on every Tuesday. I'm putting that forward. Forget that Monday with the Eid. You're on here on a Tuesday with me.
Did you see the video of him prank calling the producer last week?
Brilliant.
Childish.
Brilliant. I tell you what, though, my favourite part of it is he didn't even change his voice. He just held his nose.
Outrageous. Anyway, right. 0141 951 1025. There's plenty more to come. From the build up to Celtic against Bayern Munich, it's scheduled 7:30. Vincent Kompany, I don't know if he speaks really quickly and there's some quick turnaround, we might be able to bring you what he's got to say. You'll remember his first away Champions League game for Anderlecht as a 17-year-old was at Celtic Park back in the day. So we'll get his thoughts perhaps. But Celtic fans, what are you thinking? Maeda back, front three, how would you go? Give us a shout. Plenty more to come from the fallout from Ibrox though. And Gordon Dale was right earlier. I'm so happy that last night we got Callum Ferry on, the goalkeeper. If you missed it, make sure you watch back the stream on YouTube or Facebook, listen on the podcast, because he was excellent. And it is so important that Queen's Park don't get lost in all the Rangers negativity. So David is a Queen's Park fan. How are you feeling, David? Have you come down off the ceiling yet?
Well, my voice isn't quite fully back, so apologies if I don't sound perfect, but I'm certainly feeling a bit more human today, and yeah, still reveling in what an incredible result from the boys on Sunday. It was absolutely fantastic.
I mean, David, like, just try and sum up the emotions of the day and so on, because you won't even be offended that nobody thought it was possible. Like, that's just kind of the way we've become accustomed to these games in recent seasons, isn't it? And especially because it was at Ibrox. You know, sometimes we think when the big teams go away to tricky venues, I don't even know if yours would count as that, because you would be in the biggest, nicest pitch in the country. But just everything about it, it must be like sort of beyond your wildest dreams, so to speak.
I mean, it is, yeah. You know, you're going into the game all week, you kind of build up and build up to it, and you start getting that, oh, we what if, and you're talking to the guys, and you start to believe it going up, and then, of course, on the day, you know, before the game, you start to believe that a little bit more. You never quite know what's going to happen, and then the game starts, and, okay, we're under a bit of pressure, but I would maybe argue that it wasn't too much pressure. Really, we had a game plan. Callum Davidson had a game plan, and it was executed perfectly in the first 45, and then at halftime, you start to turn to everywhere and you go, we take that one chance. If we just get that one, you never know what's going to happen. Seb Draws took it. The boys were again superb at the back. The penalty decision, well, I can maybe talk about that as well, but the penalty decision was made. But you just mentioned there, I had him on last night, Callum Ferry. What a man. He's been doing that for years at Queen's Park. I'm glad he's done it after the transfer window shut, because I'm almost certain we'll be taking calls on him. If we are, he's under contract for two more years. So he's going to cost a pretty penny.
Getting the bids in. Oh, I love that he was explaining the, I don't know if you heard him, the psychology of it, and saying that he'd obviously done his research, and James Tavernier tends to kind of split it. He goes half one way, half the other. But usually under pressure, he figured the goalie's analysis told him he would either go central or maybe whip it. But then last minute, he just decided to go the other way anyway. And you think in that moment, like, he went against, you know, against his analysis and turned out to be the right choice.
Yeah,
you played with Tavernier, right? And you've obviously watched him playing the penalty kicks. I was surprised that he didn't, because he's brilliant at whipping it into the far corner, isn't he?
Again,
do you think he went safety with the side foot?
No, but that's the thing. Usually, the pressure ones, he does whip them or go.
But again,
middle.
See, watching it, it's not even a bad pen. Nah. It's just a great save. Yeah. I think there's plenty of pace on it. It looks as if it's hitting the corner, but Callum Ferry, you know, changes his mind, but ultimately, I guess he's the right way and it's a great save. But I remember he made a couple of big penalty saves in the league last year, Callum Ferry. I thought he was fantastic in the game. You know, a lot of individuals actually impressed me for Queen's Park. I thought the left back, Joshua Scott, actually Googled after watching him during the game. I thought he was excellent in the game. I think he's on loan for Newcastle. I thought he was really good. Ends up coming off with cramp with him at a work rate that he put in within the game. But you know, I said at the top of the show, it's so easy for us to you know, to talk about Rangers and their struggles and how they played in the game. But I thought Queen's Park, regardless of what match stats are saying, I thought they defended so well. Game plan was spot on. And I thought they were way more comfortable in the match stats suggest anyway.
It's a good job, not a good job, but you know, Queen's Park got it over the line. If there is a controversial decision, it then becomes far less important. David kind of had a wee dig to suggest that he didn't think it was a penalty. Just for the record, I don't think we'll spend much time on it. What did you think?
I thought it was a correct decision.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I did watch it a right few times.
We've now got this out though, haven't we, which you hate. Is it the type that even if you think it's soft, it's not getting overturned once it's given?
Which is exactly what it was. Yeah. I don't think it is a penalty. But I thought once it's given, it's never getting overturned.
Look, if it wasn't given, I wouldn't be up shouting, arguing, right? But when it was given, I've got to say the first thing I said was, oh, they've got out of jail here. They've really got out of jail. All credit to... Look, they deserved it. They made their luck at the weekend. They deserve all the praise in the world. It was brilliant for them.
Did you get a wee celebration on Sunday night, David?
Yeah, a little bit too much, unfortunately. But Valentine's Day this weekend, so I can make it up to my better half then.
You're a man of wise decision making. What did you make of the draw? I mean, you've up Tawdry away. You'll be feeling great about everything right now. But is that you went in the League Cup, didn't you, this season?
We were there at the League Cup, yeah, and it was a 91st minute winner from Keskin. I can't remember his name.
Yeah,
obviously, I think that week they'd signed him for £1 million, and it was him that made the difference on the day. And that was when Aberdeen were flying. I honestly don't think any Queen's Park fan would be looking at that draw and going, why can't we do it again? And it'd be absolutely incredible to see us do that and to make Hampden for the semi-finals. It's absolutely there. And after you go and you say you execute the game plan that you have to, that Callum Davidson set them up and they had to do, who's to say it can't happen again?
How long have you been following Queen's Park, David?
Probably about 20 years. I think about 20 years is when I started going home and away. So kind of seen it all, yeah.
Is this the... Did that top the lot, I take it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. The result in the 90 minutes, yeah, that tops a lot. That is the biggest win. Obviously, there's all the stats going around on Twitter. It's the first win over Rangers in 70-odd years or something like that. And then, of course, you look at what it meant for Rangers in terms of their Scottish Cup record. To go ahead and achieve that is absolutely the best 90-minute result I've seen for Queen's Park. I've certainly had some amazing days and nights out following this club, but that one is absolutely right up there at the very, very top.
Good man, David. Glad you enjoyed it. I'm sure you'll enjoy the rest of the week and the month and maybe even that Aberdeen game as well. That was David in Quinning, Queen's Park fan. It's a good time to call. Rangers fans, I know you won't be feeling anywhere near as good as David, so come and sum that up for us. Celtic fans building up to tomorrow. Any St Mirren fans on last night? Any Motherwell fans want to ask Andy Halliday, help me press him on if he knows anything about the new manager. Whatever you fancy, we can do it next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Andy Halliday are here. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call. Let us know what it is that is bothering you football related tonight. I've got a good full time teaser for you. Really, really tough.
Well, Andy's here.
We'll give it a bash.
Cool.
It's even advertised. You know the crazy pony sends tough questions in.
Yeah.
He has sent it in, and the subject on the email is hardest full time teaser ever by the crazy pony.
Does he know it's Tuesday?
Wow.
It's usually a Monday when...
Well, to be fair, people just email them in, they don't, and then we decide when to use them.
I know. Tuesday night, come on.
Just thought I would...
You're on fire now, mate. Oof, excuse us.
We'll just give it a go.
Go.
Mate, it's tough. Can you name all the goalkeepers that have saved James Tavernier penalties since he joined
Jesus.
Rangers?
Jesus!
Are you kidding or? Right, no.
Ferry.
There are only nine. So domestic...
What, can you have missed or have they have to have
saved?
That's mental.
I wouldn't ask you to name the guy that just stood while he blazed it over the bar.
I'd go as far as saying I've no chance. Any.
Not remember any.
I remember missing in games. He missed against St Mirren, so we'll go for St Mirren.
Right, anyway, since he came to Rangers domestically, he's had nine penalties saved. Can you name the goalies? It's just a bit of fun. If you don't get them, it's not the end of the world.
We're not going to get them.
St Mirren now, so who do you mean the St Mirren?
Callum Ferry. Well done. Nice, easy one.
Who'd have been?
I mean, you're actually right. So, what, semi recently? Is that what you're thinking?
It was the game. Rangers got four penalties in the game. Tav scored two, missed one.
Right, was it that game, was it?
Right. The guy went to Dundee, goalkeeper, was it Motherwell?
Trevor Carson.
There we go. Well, that hard, apart from the fact you'll never get the
I don't think that was that game, by the way. That might be another one.
Right, you'll never get the next seven.
Honestly,
it's pretty tough.
These teams have got a chance.
Aye, we'll see how you get on. Stephen is on the line. How's it going, Stephen?
Hi guys, how you doing?
Good, Stephen. What does day two of the Rangers reflection look like for you?
Like a lot of your other calls, it's not great. But I wanted to speak to obviously Daza and Andy Moore being an ex-Rangers man, but. To my mind, and it's something that's kind of been there, I think, for a while, that these certain players or some players in that squad that, for want of a better phrase, are maybe just got an utter disrespect for Scottish football. There are players in there, there's a team in there that can play very well. We've seen that against bigger teams on bigger stages. But where we lose out on games is teams that are maybe of lesser quality but have ultimately more fight and dig, guys willing to run faster, tackle harder, you know, give that extra yard, whereas we're just like Queen's Park at the weekend, we'll just pass it along the halfway line and Queen's Park will just fall over at the, you know, the sheer excitement of another useless 5 yard pass. They forget that there actually still needs to be a bit of dig, a bit of determination. And that also falls down onto the coaching staff and the captain as well. You know, managers like Souness and Smith and McLeish and Jungen back as far as Jock Wallace, these guys would not fail to remind each and every player that when you're at Rangers, there are demands put on you to perform at your best every time, and every team in the country will be looking to take points off you because you are the team that everybody wants to beat. So to my mind, it seems like there's players out there that when it's on the big stage, when there's the big shot window of European football or maybe a big game that's on the telly or whatever, the performances are there, we've seen it, but maybe, you know, a Sunday afternoon stroll against Little Queen's Park or a game, I get it, you know, Scottish football doesn't have a great pedigree outside of Scotland, but it's up to the club to instill that. We've seen that before. We've had many foreign players that I don't expect will have heard the Rangers, but there are people there in the background that will make sure, and we've seen it, you know, Amoruso, Alberts, Loudrop, Celtic have the same guys that come in here and leave with a deep fondness for the club and an understanding, and then they know that games need to be won and effort needs to be given. And I just wanted to see, I know it's something that Mark Wilson's argued about in the past, that no professional player will step foot on the park and not want to give 100%. I'm sorry, based on the performances I've seen from leagues, competitions to other competitions, you can't tell me that those players have given the same output from one game to the next.
What do you think on that, Andy? Ultimately, Stephen's kind of take is that it's a mentality thing, attitude thing, whatever you want to
call it? We said about disrespecting Scottish football in terms of domestically. I think it's more Rangers struggle against teams that sit in and frustrate. I think the European games, that, you know, the last two previous games where they've had decent performances against Celtic, I think when the game's more open, more stretched, more space for players to get on the ball and create and run into, I think that's game that suit this team. I think it's games that suit these players. I think when, you know, teams, you know, sit in a low block trying for straight, and Rangers need to come up with answers, how do they unlock the door? I think that's where they really struggle. And again, I do put that down to style, because I watch it so many times where, you know, players, you know, come beyond the 11 men of pressure to get on the ball and get touches of the ball. I don't see much in terms of rotations or try to play through the middle of the pitch. I think a lot of it is, you know, get the ball to James Tavernier, get the ball to Yanis Hadji, swing crosses into the box. That's kind of what I see when I watch them play against teams that are that low block. So I do think that's where they struggle.
That's their Achilles heel, there's no doubt about that.
Is there nothing in what Stephen's saying, though? And then maybe I'll meet in the middle, because again, I probably do subscribe to the fact I don't think anyone deliberately doesn't try, but just more that does the edge come off individuals too often?
I would imagine,
because again, the players have had very little criticism for that result of the weekend.
Yeah, I'm not one of these guys that think that you know, if they're playing in Europe, they play at the same standard against what they played, for instance, pace, everything against Queen's Park. Because you're not telling me that the Rangers players in the dressing room before a game thought for 1 minute that Queen's Park was going to beat them. Absolutely not. But all credit to Queen's Park, they were well organised. I think, like Andy was saying there, I think that the minute that teams are well organised against them and drop in deep, I don't think they're coached good enough to break them down. I don't think they've got... Andy says there, rotations, so important, football, movement, dragging players... People off the ball, dragging players out of positions for players to run in. Rangers don't have that. They're basic football, and they've got better players than, for instance, Queen's Park. But unfortunately, they couldn't break them down.
What do you think of that as a counter, Stephen, that it's more of a stylistic thing? Because you use Celtic as the example, and you think you were saying you don't think Celtic have that same drop-off. But maybe when Raith Rovers come to Celtic Park, Celtic are just so drilled in their kind of patterns and what it is they're trying to do. There's always that confidence that they will break teams down.
Yeah, and listen, Celtic teams will try the low block against Celtic as well, and I don't have a problem with a team deploying that policy against anybody that's better than them. Scotland do it when they play better teams. Celtic and Rangers will do it when they go up against big European opposition. They will deploy whatever they think they need to do. The difference is Celtic do the hard graft, as in the amount of movement off the ball, as Andy says, guys dropping in to spaces. The amount of times, you know, Celtic player will play a pass into an area that maybe looks empty, but in fact somebody's running into that space to pick up the ball.
But Stephen, do you not think that's a design by the coaching staff?
Exactly. There's something what we don't have. It was the one question I wanted answered when we saw that we'd performed well in Europe and we'd get results against Dundee United and Celtic. Did we have the answer to the low block? No. Now, Clement's played very, very well. He's supposed to be a master tactician. That's what he's there to do. But he still does not have the answer on how to... And part of that also becomes how slow we are in playing. It's no surprise that when teams come and play us, the minute they lose possession, and we allow this to happen, the first thing that happens is the opposition team, they don't really harass or try and get the ball back. First thing they'll do is run back to within 20, 25 yards of their goal, set up two banks of five, let Rangers play wide, because then what happens is it's almost forcing us, because they'll say, let them play it wide, play the big loopy high balls, because we've got 8, 9, 10 men in the box. And I'm sorry, that is hitting hope. The minute that ball leaves your foot and goes into the air, it's anybody's ball. It's up for... And if I'm a centre-half and I'm not maybe quite as skillful, but I'm a bit of a big guy and I can win a ball in the air, I'll take that all day. I'll win those balls in there, because what I don't want is you, a highly skilled, very expensive Rangers player, is having the ball at your feet, running at me and making me twist and turn and playing into spaces. Rangers don't do that. Why don't they do that?
But see, at the end of the day, I know what you're saying, and especially against top opposition, it's very important to know, like, Celtic are well drilled, right? But I'm not being disrespectful here. You should be able to not even have a team talk at the weekend, put the players out, game knowledge. You should know you're playing against Queen's Park.
Is that not you agreeing with Stephen then? That just that kind of individual responsibility.
I just don't think players. I said Gordon, I don't think they play at the same tempo as they play in Europe today. And players do that. I'm not saying that they don't go out and try, right? But same tempo, same concentration, same attitude, everything about it. I think the Rangers players, the players that they've got, the money that they pay them, should be able to go out on a pitch, and doesn't matter if Queen's Park play a low block or put everybody behind the ball, should be able to move them about and open them up and score goals. I'm not being disrespectful to Queen's Park because I think they deserve so much credit, but you're talking about Rangers here. You're paying
at Ibrox.
Yeah, you're paying guys a lot of money that are supposed to be top professional footballers. You've got to be able to figure it out sometimes for yourself.
I mentioned at the top of the show, the only time that Rangers showed any urgency within the game is when they were 1-0 down, the last 10-15 minutes, when Eggerman gets fouled straight away, hand on the ball, quick free kick, Chirner gets played through. Again, free kick, quick hand on the ball, played through, Dessers one a moment ago, he takes it round. Again, that's because they're 1-0 down. I don't think, Clement's not demanding that for the players straight away, which is why you then get this slow tempo. And you mentioned Bailey Rice, obviously really frustrating for the young man to come off at half time. It could have been 5 or 6, but I watched Bailey Rice in the game, and I think he's just doing what's probably asked of him, to drop in between the two centre halves and get the ball and try and move the ball. But when Queen's Park have 11 players so deep, again, it's just it was a hard watch.
How does this play out with the manager, Stephen, in your mind?
I just think there's. I don't know if we've lost that, and a lot of people have said that Rangers identity. I just don't get that there's anybody. I recently done the. Just before Christmas, had done the Rangers tour, the museum tour and stuff with my father, and spoke to the chap that takes the tours and stuff. And I said, they give you a lot of tidbits, a lot of good bits of information, and it reinforces the kind of history of the club and the demands that were in place long before any of us were even born and such. And I said to him, did we bring, even new players signed, did we bring them in here and give them all that? And he was like, no. And I said, why not? Who's instilling these demands and what it means to play at Rangers? Because, I mean, I hear players coming out and go, oh yeah, I know what it means to play with Rangers and put that blue jersey on, and then you're like, but you're going out on the park and you're not giving me that. I'm not seeing that from game to game, because it's alright doing it in Europe, but you're not going to be playing the big teams in Europe if you can't beat the teams domestically, and then all of a sudden it's not attractive to come to Rangers anymore. And that's the legacy that managers like this and the few managers before us have left. So somebody needs to, and that maybe that's on the board, somebody needs to make sure that whoever's coming in, and I don't think it's Clement anymore, I don't think he's got that ability to man-manage. Walter Smith was really good at it, Brendan Rodgers is good at it. Bringing in, they've come into a club and brought a player on, a player that maybe wasn't doing so. I've not seen Clement do that with any player that actually improved them, the existing ones that we got. And I don't know that there's, who was doing all that? Was it Jimmy Bell? And now we've lost him. There's nobody in there driving that Rangers ethos that makes sure that a player that, I don't mind it if you didn't know who Rangers were before you came, but somebody should be instilling that in there so that when you go out in the park, you're given the same as what the fans expect. I thought Alex Ray was supposed to be that guy, but I just don't think anybody's doing that. So is that what we need? Do we need somebody that can do that domestically?
What do you guys make of that stuff? Because I couldn't possibly say that it's wrong, and we always hear, even it's, that you want that core, and Brendan Rodgers, he talks about Callum McGregor, and even guys like Anthony Ralston playing a part in the squad, or Greg Taylor, and kind of getting it. But then I also think the amount of emphasis Stephen's putting on it makes it sound like, that it's the most important thing. Surely just a well-coached team, mm-hmm. Does that. Again, Celtic have that core, but does Rayo Hatate know Celtic's backstory? I don't know if he does. And he might, by the way. Sorry, Rayo, if he's surprising us all and listening. But I just feel like if you're good enough and you're coached well enough, that stuff becomes secondary. You do then need to go looking for it, though, when things aren't working.
Yeah, I think it's small margins that are part of a big picture.
Yeah,
I think the most important thing is, again, the identity of the team, the identity the players and the product that you're seeing on the pitch. But I think, of course, a core base of players that, you know, I've maybe brought up in Scotland, which I think Neil Scotland's referenced that he wants to bring in, you know, young Scottish talent out every window. I think that can certainly help. But I've said it so many times, you know, you can come from afar and not know anything about the Old Firm. You learn pretty quickly about the demands within the club within a couple of weeks. So I never really put that down to being a huge factor when it comes to poor results. I just think it's more, you know, stylistically and what the product is on the field.
You can say, Gordon, every club wants to get their culture right. So mm-hmm. not saying Stephen's, you know, completely miles off it. I suppose it's just about how much emphasis you put on it.
I think it's a sort of a fine balance. When you come into a club the size of Rangers or Celtic, it is, you're there first and foremost to go and win games. And Andy is right in telling you, once you're in that building and you played a few games, you soon understand what playing with clubs like Rangers and Celtic are all about. The pressure on you every single day, even when you're out and about. You know what I mean? This is new to these guys, but you get back to it. The most important thing is when they go over that line, how they're coached, how they play, how they perform, and then everything comes hand in hand. Rangers didn't achieve that on Sunday.
Okay, thank you to Stephen on the line. How are you two faring on this very difficult teaser? We're looking for the 9 domestic goalkeepers that have saved a James Tavernier Rangers penalty. You've got Callum Ferry, you've got Trevor Carson.
Right, you know I'm just got to throw names. So, Liam Kelly.
See, that's not today, but...
No.
Sigrist.
No.
No, I'm not doing that, come on.
Aye.
We're sitting name 50 goalies,
every
man.
Goalie that's ever aye. Played in Scotland.
Why not? Because we'll be right now, you ain't got
no,
the answer.
No, I am, well, yeah, but I've not been thinking. Must have had a pen against Aberdeen. Joe Lewis?
Yes, see.
There you go, see.
Methodical.
See, I've coached you into that.
No. Any more?
Put you in the right Aberdeen. None against Celtic. He's no missed against Celtic, has he?
Trying even like goalies that have got records of being good at saving penalties.
Might not be a bad shout.
Oh, no. Craig Gordon.
No.
But the other one, the number 2.
Marciano one.
No.
No. Clark.
No.
Oh yeah.
But I thought you were quote. You're warm.
I'm warm, Craig
Gordon. Oh, it's Hibs. Who's close, me or him? Because I said Marciano, he said 2 Hearts goalies.
I know, but see if you could meet in the middle.
Princess Street.
Craig Gordon's warm in terms of profile.
Scotland International.
Hibs is warm in terms of
David Marshall.
David Marshall.
Okay, we'll get the rest of the answers, maybe, when we return.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Andy Halliday are into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. What a conversation that was at the break. Andy says, I've got some for the teaser. And Gordon's going, please tell me I won't steal it. I promise I won't steal it, which is an absolute lie.
He didn't tell me, did he?
He didn't tell me.
Yeah.
Well, Dennis at Commander, I remember that.
You heard that one.
No, I didn't. Is that correct?
Can you name the 9 goalkeepers that have saved James Tavernier domestic penalties for Rangers since he came? Callum Ferry, Trevor Carson, Joe Lewis, David Marshall. You had them before the break. What did you get during the break?
Will Dennis.
Well done, Will Dennis of Kelly.
What did
well
you
done.
Get, Andy?
On you.
No, it's yours. No.
That's not a good shout from you. It was a good shout. Come on.
No, I'll let him take. There's two more Kelly. Wait, so Daniel Backman was one.
Yes.
Daniel I was Backman. Gone. Look, I had Tim written down.
As you can take the other one.
Okay.
That you said.
That's a wind up, innit?
No, it's not.
It's not.
Right, hurry up, give me something.
I've no gain of it. No, right. I've not nothing else. Because that is a wind. Because nobody put down there, right? This is how bad this guy is. Jamie McDonald, who's never saved a James Tavernier penalty in his life. Let me just clarify that to the crazy pony.
You're too wide, mate. You're treble wide. I'll get it.
You're a thing for 1 minute.
It'd be good if you said it, though, wouldn't it?
Ah, exactly.
Okay, right, any more?
I think,
what have you got? 6 is not bad.
How many more?
The 3 that you've got remaining, one of them.
Kelly Roos, no one, though.
No, one of them is still in the top flight. The other 2 are actually worth.
What, the goalie? The goalie's still in the top flight?
He's still at this club, yeah.
What club?
No, I'm not telling you.
I can't say that.
Okay, no. Where's the other 2?
The lower league teams.
No.
Oh, in the cup or something?
Well, no.
Or have they played in the Premier League and went
no,
to the...
Clark, no, Bissick, no, Smith, no.
You've got to name all the goalkeepers.
What if he's not... No. What if he's not number one slash unavailable at his club just now? That would put a spanner in the works if you're just rhyming off the number ones.
And John, the Premier John McCrack? League?
He's just back, though.
In the Premier League?
Oh, I know it.
Good man.
Do you want me to tell you right?
No, no, no.
Ross Laidlaw.
Ross Laidlaw. Well done. Okay. Now, the other two are... I'm going to say impossible, to be honest.
Nah, never.
Nah, they are.
Can it be?
Yeah.
If you give us a clue.
Nah, don't.
I mean, what year?
I don't know. Crazy Pony doesn't give this information. One would have been, I remember this, one is a cup game maybe two, 3 years ago.
No, I wouldn't have been there.
No. Mm-hmm. The other one you might have been.
Why don't we extend the show to 11 o'clock and tell
might have
and tell all the goalkeepers that scored against?
Hard. He's a team.
It's hard.
Nah, not yet.
Oh, it's a bit rude.
Not yet. Right, we are almost out of time. Let's have a wee run through the rest of the cup draw because we haven't, you know, we've dealt mostly with Rangers' defeat, obviously. The draw last night. Celtic Hibs, Dazzler, is that the tie of the round for you?
Hibs
as well equipped as anyone to give. I don't know, everyone thinks Celtic are favourites, but are they as well equipped as anyone to
probably
upset
if
things?
If you look at the rest of the, well, Hearts are in good form as well, but Hibs have been really, really good. Good victory against Dare. It wasn't the prettiest, but they got there. Look, I think if Hibs got Celtic maybe at Easter Road, they would feel a bit better. Got Celtic Park. It's a massive ask, but after a weekend, it's very hard to write off any team now, isn't it? You look at the rest of the draw there. The only one that is Livingston to beat St Johnstone going to be the biggest upset in the world.
Is that the type of draw that they both, both want probably?
Definitely. Yeah, I said it last night. I think Livingston will fancy their chances, specifically being at home. But I think St Johnstone as well will be watching the draw and thinking it's a good draw for them. So I think that's the real one where you can see it going either way. I think there's clear favourites in the other three ties, but massive opportunity for a lot of teams to get to Hampden in the semi-final.
See if you're a Hibs player.
You're gutted. Gutted, definitely.
Because people always say the right thing about you've got to beat the best and you need to beat them at some point and all that. Yeah, but you just annoyed.
I agree if it's Easter Road.
Right.
And I think, a Hearts or a Tyne Castle. I think if they've got an even better opportunity to win the Scottish Cup, clearly it's Celtic not being in it. And I think they've got a much bigger chance, beating them at home than beating them at Hampden and say a semi or a final. So I think if Hibs get drawn against Celtic at Easter Road, then I don't see it as a bad up, but going to Celtic Park, it's just going to be a huge ask.
I don't for one second think the Rangers fans are going to agree with the sentiment, Gordon, which is understandable. And then you've got that thing about, I don't know if it's from a marketing perspective or whatever, you're getting huge numbers of eyeballs on a final if it's Rangers and Celtic. But to everyone else, see when a team like Rangers goes out in the shock fashion that they did, does it just kind of breathe a bit of life into maybe your hopes, your thoughts on how far you can go? Quite often in the last few seasons it feels, and to be fair, I know Inverness got to the final, but I think Rangers and Celtic was still the semi, wasn't it? Is that would have been right?
Yeah.
It feels like there's not been that many opportunities for teams to go and fancy themselves.
Yeah, well, if you look at Hearts, look, that was a shock at the weekend as well. They won. Aberdeen. But their league form's been poor. The amount of games that obviously is well documented that they've not won in some, was it 14 or something? They've got a great opportunity if they bypass Celtic. They've got to be favourites to beat Queen's Park. Look, we know that Queen's Park, it'd be some achievement if they could go to Pittodrie and knock out Aberdeen as well as Rangers. But you would say Aberdeen are probably going to go through in that one. So it gives them a bit of hope to get to final if they probably miss Celtic. I think that any of the teams there, you're looking at Aberdeen, Livingston, Hearts, Dundee, St Johnstone, all you want to do is just avoid Celtic and you've got a great opportunity to get into the final.
If Hearts not, they've not had many home cup draws.
No, I think it was seven away in a row in the cup, yeah. Long time. Neil Critchley mentioned that after the game.
So they'll fancy that, especially the old 6-0 the last time. I know it's very rarely that simple that you get a repeat or anything close to it, but still it would be a nice confidence booster.
Yeah, 6-0 at Dens, beat them at Tynecastle as well at the start of the season. But listen, not only that, like I said, I think they've got momentum on their side. I think they're in a good run of form. 8 unbeaten now. I think it's a tie they'll fancy going into, and then obviously giving themselves a real opportunity in the semi-final. But listen, they're not the only one. Aberdeen, like you say, it's a good draw. Mm. Yes, they're on poor form. What actually started the run of poor form they're on was the last thing they played Celtic at a semi and losing 6-0. Aberdeen were absolutely flying up until that point, and then it's just been a downward spiral ever since.
Okay, let's park that for now because we are almost out of time. Your teaser tonight was a cracker, so difficult. The Crazy Pony wanted you to name all the goalkeepers to save James Tavernier's domestic penalties since joining Rangers. Callum Ferry's an easy one. It's a gimme at the start. You've got Ross Laidlaw, Trevor Carson, Joe Lewis, David Marshall, Will Dennis and Daniel Backman. You've got two to get. They are the hardest by a mile.
So did you hint at a lower league cup opposition? Is that right?
I did.
You got Blair it? Curry.
Blair Curry of
Stirling Albion.
What a shout.
Oh,
that is.
It's unreal.
That's
sensational.
Good.
Alex Lowry's debut scored.
Yeah. Blair Curry of Stirling Albion.
That's worth just sitting next to you tonight.
What else?
See if you get the next one.
I'll drive you home.
The one before.
I'll give you all the details about the game and you'll really remember the game, but I don't know if you'll remember the goalkeeper. Rangers at Partick Thistle were allowed to walk the ball into the net.
Jamie Sneddon.
New, Ian McCall lost his job just after it as well. Yeah. What a day that was. Jamie Sneddon.
Well done,
they got there in the end. Thank you to Andy Halliday and to Gordon DL. The biggest thanks, as always, does go to you for listening, tweeting, and especially, of course, for calling and joining the show. You do make it. And we're back tomorrow night for one of the great nights, really, that we'll have had. When a team like Bayern Munich comes to this city, it's always special. The Eisen Maeda is available. What can Celtic do? We will find out. So make sure you join us from 6 o'clock and enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.